Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. We like doing these things where we embarrass Sarah Spain and Katie Nolan. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We've got some good football in the show for you. Let's get started.
Should Jason Garrett appreciate how respectful Jerry Jones is trying to be in firing him?
Now he respects him? I mean, you can make the argument that among all of ownership, not just this sport, anywhere in sports, there's no one who's been more disrespectful to his coach than Jerry Jones is. You don't get these press conferences right after a game where you're criticizing his playmaking because you've paid him year after year to be something between a mannequin and a pinata for you. So he is grateful for this man's many years of service. He is grateful that this man has taken this public beating so it could be rich man Jerry Jones's toy. And at the very end, he's trying to treat it with some delicacy, which I understand given that he's a mercenary and that you wouldn't think of this from Jerry Jones. He's just trying to be a human being here.
Yeah, but the thing is, like you said, he has treated him poorly the entirety of his tenure, undermining him at every turn. He's also been incredibly loyal in a sport that turns over its coaches very often. Jason Garrett's made it a decade there, and so this prolonged goodbye is actually completely fitting. He's sort of treating him poorly, all the while displaying some sort of loyalty that benefits neither side, because now the Cowboys are going to be behind on getting a new coach. Jason Garrett's going to be behind on going out for the opportunities that are open in the NFL. This is a damaging relationship for both sides and has been all season long, which is why this twisting in the wind to finally say goodbye is completely apropos to everything we've seen from them.
The thing about being respectful is that it's a lot like being helpful, which is that it can really only be decided if you're being it by the person you're reportedly being it to. And I don't think that anybody would say that the way he's been treating this firing or not firing or whatever it is at this point of the day, by the time this airs, has been respectful. And the only reason we think that that's what he wants is because one source told someone that that's what Jerry Jones said. But Jerry Jones doesn't get to decide if this is respectful. I don't think dragging this out all this time and letting us talk about it day after day during the holiday season is a respectful thing to do to a person. I don't think that that's what Jason Garrett would say. Yes, I feel very respected by being debated every day about whether or not I was useful as a coach to this team. I just don't think you can say I was trying to be respectful, because it's not.
Here's the twist, though. What if Jerry Jones started to float out the prospect of working for the Cowboys to a number of people he was interested in, and none of them wanted the job? And now he's actually spending this time convincing Jason Garrett that he should stick around. After being undermined and disrespected all season long, Jason Garrett took his family out on the field, decided everything is over, I'm ready to move on, fresh slate somewhere else. And now Jerry Jones is the one trying to beg him to stay.
Who would you rather have tomorrow, Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady?
As I speak to you right now, I honestly can't believe that I'm going to do this again. Ryan Tannehill is going to end the Patriots this weekend. The Patriots, what you just saw from them in a game they had to have against Miami, is one of the biggest, most confounding things you've seen. They have been the surest thing in the sport for damn near two decades. And them at home at this time of year has been about the surest thing in the sport. And they just lost to a Dolphins team. They let that haggard hobo Ryan Fitzpatrick drive down the field against
Sorry,
them.
That's a Harvard
after Tom Brady had given them the two-minute touchdown. I am taking Ryan Tannehill here. I'm doing it with reluctance. I know he's 0-6 in Foxborough, but I'm going to take Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to take the Titans, and I'm going to be terrified while doing it because I've been wrong about the last 5 years on what the end of Tom Brady's career is supposed to look like. I will just say, and this is fair, this is the most you could ever question Tom Brady at any point in his career based on how he's played this season.
That's totally fair. Totally fair, Dan. But if the question is, would you rather have Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill? The answer is Tom Brady. You might want Tannehill's offensive line. You might want Tannehill's offensive weapons. But you want Tom Brady, because he can do Tom Brady things. Tannehill has been very impressive since he came in and has been the starter for the Titans. 86.7% of their trips to the red zone have been turned into touchdowns. That's an insane rate. Also, historically, we've seen that that rate drops off dramatically in the playoffs. So they're not going to be able to turn every trip to the red zone into 6 points, which means they're going to want to turn it into 3 points. And who do they have kicking their field goals? Greg Joseph, a guy who has never this season even tried a field goal for the Titans. He's their fourth kicker. So if you're used to turning red zone trips into 6 points and now you can't even turn them into three, I wouldn't say that that is going to look very good for you on a scoreboard. Is that convincing enough to think?
No, Sarah, I saw her
actually,
making faces.
No,
Sarah
it was
making faces.
You used a lot of stats to try to buoy an argument that has no weight underneath it, and you started by making an argument that you would rather have Brady than Tannehill without acknowledging that statistically, Ryan Tannehill has been much, much better than Tom Brady since the midway point of the season. Now, this is answering this dumb producer question in a bubble, which is to say, well, who would I rather have? Well, I'd rather have Tannehill because he's completing passes and he's more efficient right now. That being said, they're not competing against each other in an arm wrestle. They're playing a football game, which means they have coaches and other teammates around them. And the Patriots are 11-0 in the postseason against quarterbacks playing in their first playoff game. Tannehill is 0-6 at New England. So I will not be surprised if the Titans win this game, but I have to pick the Patriots because this isn't Tannehill versus Brady. This is one team versus another.
If it were arm wrestling, Tom Brady would win. We can all agree, I think.
Yeah, he's 42.
I think the Haggard hobo.
Old man
I got to go with the Haggard hobo.
Haggard,
I got to go off the board.
Hobo
off the
over
board.
Everyone.
Haggard, show some respect.
That's right. Put some respect on that name.
You guys seem pretty fired up for such a dumb question.
It was a dumb question, though.
Stupid
question.
She is
so right. You know what that question was? Hey, guys, we'll throw something stupid out there. You guys make 3 minutes of content.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that's also the next three questions.
That is. And the, and my life for the last 9 years.
And the whole show.
Will everyone owe an apology to Josh Allen if he beats Deshaun Watson in a playoff game?
None of us trust Josh Allen. Look, that laughter suggests there that she's not going to apologize, even though she perhaps should, because all of us are questioning Josh Allen and how good he can be at any moment, because the reason the Bills win is not him. As Sarah just told you about going quarterback against quarterback, we all know the quarterback we would take in this game. But we also know that in games outside of games played against the Dolphins, if you're looking at a total points in a game, the Bills haven't had one where there's more than 44 points in a game. They're going to muddy the game up. The only way they win is to do to Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins what none of us want to see, which is just make them slow down. We don't want that, but that's the way the Bills are going to win.
Yeah, this whole question is another stellar effort from the producers. How would we do it? Would we line up outside his house and each gently give him a handshake and apologize for everything we've done? Do we send him a letter? It's very complicated. But the thing is, it's probably not going to happen. And not because the Bills aren't a great team and not because their defense is likely to take away the best options of a Texans team that's already probably going to be without Will Fuller. And without Will Fuller, Deshaun Watson's numbers exponentially drop. But I think it's just because this is a guy in Josh Allen who performed so poorly against the blitz, 27th in passer rating, 28th in QBR, and the Texans are 10th most in blitz rate. They are going to make his life miserable because the only way for the Texans, which is a better team when they play up to their best, to win this game is to challenge Josh Allen and to make it about their offense scoring enough against a great Bills defense and preventing Josh Allen and the Bills offense from doing anything. And they're going to do that by making his life a living hell.
Yeah, like you were saying, Will Fuller is responsible for a 15-point swing in Deshaun Watson's passer rating. So it's absolutely going to matter how he plays, and it's absolutely going to matter what J.J. Watt we see and if pressure is able to be put on the quarterback. Also, you know, Josh Allen, in five starts against playoff teams, has a 51.6 completion percentage. It's just not good. And so will we owe him an apology? Possibly. But I've owed many men apologies before, and I haven't given them.
They probably
and
got
so
that
we'll
laughter.
See,
they probably
we'll
got
see
that
what
laughter,
happens. Yeah. No, the laughter was just, do we all owe him an apology?
You
I feel like
laughed
the question
at the idea
today,
of apologizing
no,
to Josh
No, I laughed
Allen.
At all of us doing it, as if you could answer this question yes. What happens if I say yes, we do all owe him? Like Sarah said, what are we going to do? I'll send him a tweet? We're just going to all line up? How are we going to all apologize to him? It's a stupid question. It's Friday. Let's do the next one.
Will you view Kirk Cousins differently if the Vikings beat the Saints on the road this weekend?
What are these questions?
I appreciate them coming to me with this question because I don't believe anyone in sports has been wrong more often about Kirk Cousins than me. And you say to yourself, well, how wrong can you be? It's either yes or it's no. No, I have said he's good and he's always bad when I say he's good. I have said he is bad and he is always good when I say that he is bad. Kirk Cousins is a quarterback who doesn't give you victories that you remember. He has not done in primetime anything to make anyone believe that he's a championship quarterback. But here we are again, and if he wins this game, plenty of people will turn to Kirk Cousins and say, that's a guy I want, because with this team, he looks better than he ever has.
Yeah, I mean, since week five, Kirk Cousins, if you're paying attention to non-primetime games, he's second in yards per attempt, he's second in completion percentage, and he's fourth in passer rating. He's not doing poorly. Even Bomani Jones has come out and said that he believes in Kirk Cousins. That should be all you need to know to feel like you can say, yeah, we were wrong. We probably saw him differently. He's been sneaky good, and I think if he's good this weekend in primetime, it'll be the thing he needs. But I think he knows that he's good, and he just wants to show people that.
I already forgot the question. Are we apologizing to him, or
no?
Are we
this
rethinking
is. Are you going to look at him differently?
Okay.
Are
okay.
You
perfect.
See
okay,
him differently.
Because I don't need to apologize to him. I've definitely pumped up his tires enough this year. He had Pro Bowl numbers. I think he was a Pro Bowl snub. But that being said, I don't think we will look at him differently because one time in primetime, the result was different. But I also think all along, we've looked at the end result of his team's success as a reflection of him as a quarterback, which is an unfair way to decide whether he's performed at a high level in those games. There are plenty of games where he didn't, and there are plenty of games where he did. This game will probably end up being a Saints win because they're a better team. And if the Vikings were to win, it would be because of the run game, because the Saints' D-line is hurting so much. But I think it's going to be a Saints win. We're all going to add it to the list of things that Kirk Cousins has done terribly and talk about how much money he makes and fill in a narrative that apparently we really need to buoy with more statistics.
Even when you look at the games he's lost in primetime that we use in a stat to pad that stat to say that he's bad in primetime, he actually hasn't played that poorly. Right. He's a very good quarterback. He's just, I don't know, is it his face? What is it about him that makes us all just want to jump on him?
It's the money. It's the money.
It's the not having that big, dramatic, Hail Mary type victory.
I hope he gets it. Kirk, if you're listening, I know you are. I know you're a fan of the program. I hope you get it, buddy. Go for it.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Time to play the game that wishes every week was a two-day work week. Do you question?
That's so true. You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question if Ron Rivera is already having second thoughts?
So after about two decades of really mismanaging the Washington racial slurs and being one of the worst owners in sports, you would ask yourself, when introducing him, what's the most efficient way possible that you can sound like you don't know what you're doing? How about this for your perusal?
Good afternoon. First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Okay, so there you have it. How does that happen? Can someone, is that just nerves in front of a microphone?
Yeah, he's new on the job. Wait a minute, that's not right. That can't be it. He also, later on that very sentence, said, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and welcome, glad to have you here in the new year. I'm like, no, you had it. That was it. That's the one. The new year part.
Of all the holidays Dan Snyder should be avoiding, Thanksgiving, right at the top of the list.
Do you question what these Tennessee fans were trying to spell?
Okay, is this a general question, or do we have video involved here that we're not doing stereotypes on Tennessee spelling in general, and we've got video proof here of poor Tennessee spelling.
Careful
with the OCK.
Good sleep, Rocky Top. Woo!
Yeah, that guy, old referee there with the backward card. That guy's feeling pretty big shame today.
There's a guy that's just holding up a nothing card, and you know he's like,
that's it.
I did not. That's the referee
I was telling you about.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
yeah,
it's Uncle Sam.
I did nothing wrong.
It's just backwards. It's just backwards. It's not blank. Might I recommend just a poster where you write the full words when you're sober,
no,
and you just hold it up, and then you're only responsible for whatever sentence you've made on the poster. You don't have to be part of that crew.
And to that I say, Sarah, goodly octopoo woo.
Do you question if this was a great play design or bad defense?
All right, so Syracuse is down one. There are 0.8 seconds left in this game while they're down one, and they are on offense. They've got to get a couple of points here. What happened? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, it wasn't bad defense. That was a great pick. Watch the pick. She gets bodied. Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And then in the air, finishes. That's just good basketball there from Syracuse.
Yeah, look at that. Let's look at the picker again here because she is happier than she knows what she did there. She knows that she
caused
all of that. Yep. Happy for her teammates. See, you guys try to make us blame someone. That's just good execution.
It's just rude. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Shouldn't 13 have switched?
Oh, wow. Really?
I wasn't looking at numbers. Show it again.
Let's see it again. We weren't looking at 13. Where's 13?
Oh, but she was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is kind of bad defense.
Listen, this is hindsight. An amazing hyper-examination of, I can't believe we just all of a sudden turned into an X's and O's show. Look at that, with instant replay.
Somebody give me a telestrator. I want to break this down. Also, never give me a telestrator. I think we all know what would happen.
We do. Questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that can't wait to see how the Patriots do on a wild card weekend. See?
Oh, no.
Or no.
Oh.
You tell us what's on television tonight. You're scared, Katie. You're scared. The Patriots got you running scared.
Not scared. Nervous.
Sunday afternoon, Seahawks and Eagles.
Yeah, of course, all the football this weekend is going to consume us. But let's check in with the closest the Cowboys got to the playoffs this season. This is Jerry Jones in his skybox watching the Eagles over in a different game with his back to his own game, watching the Eagles get into the playoffs. And I think watching sad Jerry Jones, the back of his head, is something we can all be here for as a country. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Of course, all the games this weekend are going to be great. I want to see if the Eagles can win a playoff game without having it handed to them by a double doink.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Bears. That was unfortunate. Katie, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Yes, of course I'm intrigued. Obviously, we all think that the Seahawks are going to win, but I would love to see Mina Kimes' reaction if the Eagles knock them out. I just think that would be great content, so very intrigued.
Evil. Call yourself a friend.
I am a friend. I just also am a
rooting
coworker.
For her misery.
Yeah, not misery, just content.
Tonight at 7, Hawks and Celtics.
Oh, you know the Taco Fall has been a big deal in Boston. People are very excited because it's still okay in 2020 to make fun of fat guys and really tall guys. Usually we don't make fun of bodies like this, but Taco Fall is a giant celebrity because he doesn't have to jump to dunk. MVP chance.
Amazing.
Yes, I mean, he is amazing. He is, the size of that is, yeah. And his cancer looks small next to him. Sarah, how about you? Oh, we got more of this. We got more Taco Fall highlights.
How dare you try to cut him off?
MVP chance. Yes.
Once again, the chant of MVP.
Sarah, he takes it in good stride. He's enjoying the affection. Mm. Sarah, are you intrigued?
You know, normally I'm in for tacos and basketball, but no, because I'm having PTSD against that AAU tournament where I played against Sean Bradley's sister, and she was so tall that she just kept throwing it up, getting her own rebound until she finally made it, and I had no answers, and that really triggered something in me, so I'm not watching
anymore.
I'm
sorry
taco
about
ball.
That. It appears to have scarred you deeply. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, you know, MVP, and also I believe he's currently, what, eighth? For centers for all-star voting. So Taco Fall, that's my MVP. That's my all-star. That's also the words I say that make me sad normally when a taco falls, but I'm happy to see it.
Yes, not as sad as it makes me. Happy trust them. Trust
Sunday on Discovery, Naked and Afraid XL.
Let's go! Dan, you didn't tell me you were doing Naked
Wait,
and Afraid.
Dan
Levitard Bedroom Chronicles, another name for this show. Naked and Afraid.
Ooh. There's cancer everywhere. Oh. Ah. Oh. Oh my God, oh my God. Oh, they're everywhere on me, oh my God. Oh, oh my God, they're evil. We need a fire going.
Spotters,
oh, it hurts. Wow, they bite a lot. Oh my God, they're like shockers.
Yeah, they hurt bad.
This is a nightmare. Oh God, they're still on me. I'm never gonna make it.
Seems terribly unpleasant. Sarah, oh wow, you are pretty disgusted by it. So no intrigue over there.
How much are these people getting paid to do this? It's got to be a lot, because it's bad enough getting a bug bite on a part of your body that is exposed to the weather all the time, not to mention all the other body parts that I won't mention.
Katie, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Here's why I'm intrigued. Because, Sarah, I'll let you know, they don't get paid. I watch a lot of Naked and Afraid. That's my entire DVR. It's just Jeopardy and Naked and Afraid. They don't get paid, but they learn how to serve. It's just to prove to yourself that you can do it. And their whole bodies get covered in bug bites, and then they have to, like, find the tree or the plant that solves that bug bite. It's fascinating that these people can do this, and I think you guys are being very disrespectful.
Appreciate you spending Thanksgiving with us. If you want to check out Sarah Spain and Katie Nolan, you could do so at Sports Question Mark for Katie Nolan. And at That's What She Said, anywhere you do your devices. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Anywhere you do your devices.
Sarah, I'm guessing if you didn't like that, you're not going to like one of our Hall of Famers here. You're not going to like this, right?
Oh, no. Not even the guy with them in his pants.
Is this the King of Porn?
Oh, no. It is the guy with that
almost,
in his hand.
Almost. It's
oh,
almost
no.
The King of Porn.
No, why?
Why?
But it is not the King of Porn.
Why?
It is the King of my torso is about to start laughing at everything below me.
There's two sensors. That's how disgusting what's happening right there. They're censoring it out twice.
It's always funny.